From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Forever chemicals. You can't see them, but they are chemicals that end up in our drinking water, and you may never even know that they're there unless you test for them. But their potential health impacts can be severe, including cancer and heart disease. Now, the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency, or the EPA, has released a new nationwide set of limits for these chemicals that will impact the drinking water of more than 25 million people in California alone, many of them in underserved communities. According to an analysis by our content-sharing partners at CalMatters, the new limits on the number of wells that are out of compliance in the state will balloon by more than 200%, and they will require testing that will force the price of water to rise. CalMatters water policy reporter Rachel Becker joins us now to help us better understand the health risks, the costs involved with compliance, and how water customers will be impacted by these new regulations. Good afternoon, Rachel.
Hi, thanks for inviting me.
All right, so last week, the Biden-Harris administration announced new national standards that establish limits on so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. So first off, what are forever chemicals and what are these new standards?
So these chemicals go by a lot of names and there are thousands of them. You might have heard of them as forever chemicals or perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl substances, or PFAS for short. And so they've been used to make things like Teflon, some firefighting foams, stain and water-resistant coatings, and sometimes even food packaging. And they get into the environment by leaching into soil and water from all sorts of places. Hotspots include industrial facilities, military bases, airports, landfills. Nearly everyone in the United States, even newborn babies, have been exposed to these things.
Does California have its own set of standards outside of the national standards?
Yes. So California has had guidelines. And so these federal standards are coming in from the EPA last week. So the federal standards will require water suppliers, cities, utilities to meet levels called maximum contaminant levels for five of the chemicals, and a sixth chemical will be limited in mixtures. And the standards tackle some of the best known of these chemicals, including perfluorooctanoic acid and perfluorooctane sulfonic acid, so PFOA and PFOS, if you don't want to say that. The federal standards are going to limit them to just 4 parts per trillion in drinking water, which is an absolutely tiny amount. It's a minute fraction of a drop of water in a swimming pool. It'll also tackle three other chemicals, including some that have come to replace those kind of OG forever chemicals, PFOA and PFOS, at slightly higher levels. These federal standards are much more stringent than California's current, more kind of strongly worded guidelines.
Yeah.
And California's guidelines limit PFOA to 10 parts per trillion and PFOS to 40 parts per trillion. So, between 2.5 and 10 times higher than the new federal limits for those chemicals. So now, under the federal guidelines, as you said, the number of wells considered to contain unacceptable levels of these chemicals is going to grow. It's going to absolutely balloon by 255%. So that's an additional 572 wells. And those are the wells that we know of. Those are the ones that have been tested. And under the federal guidelines, now even more water suppliers will be required to test so that that number could grow.
Okay, so if I understand this correctly, while California has guidelines, those are more like recommendations, the EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency, they have requirements. So there's more weight behind what states have to comply with. Now that there are more public wells, which have just been tested, that are exceeding these new federal water standards, what do they have to do to get into compliance?
Yeah, so they're going to have 5 years. 3 years will be for testing. And then those that have elevated levels will also have to install treatment by the end of 5 years, or find other water supplies that they can replace contaminated supplies, or that they can use to blend with their existing supplies in order to dilute the levels to within the limits.
What chunk, when we're talking about nearly 800 public wells, what chunk is that out of, the total number of wells and water systems in the state?
Our data team, John DiAgostino and Jeremiah Kimmelman, took a look at test results that water suppliers have reported to the state, and they averaged results from 2023, and they found that 214 water systems in California with 796 public wells are going to exceed the new federal drinking water standards. So that's more than half of the California systems that tested their water and reported their findings to the state. So there are more that haven't had to test yet. Okay. That now will.
Right.
And these suppliers provide water to millions of Californians.
So if that's more than half of California systems across the state, is that evenly spread out or are there hotspots?
So some of this is limited by the fact of where places have been testing. So again, there may be more distribution than we know of right now. Places around airports, around landfills, around military facilities, you know, heavily industrialized areas, those may have some increased chances of detecting these forever chemicals, which is why early on California focused a lot of testing requirements around these areas. And you can go on our story at calmatters.org and take a look at the great map that the data team created. And you can see that it's fairly distributed, you know, across California, including a smattering of wells in Sacramento County with elevated levels. But it's important to note that detections in water sources don't necessarily mean that people are actually drinking those levels. You know, water suppliers may already be treating. They may not heavily rely on those sources. They may be blending the water with other supplies that then dilute the concentrations. And so if folks are curious about what their water supplies may have after looking at our maps, they can go to these documents called consumer confidence reports that water systems publish on a semi-regular basis. And that should include more information about local supplies for individual residents. And folks with questions, these consumer confidence reports sometimes have contact details also for people who may be able to answer questions.
When you say local supply, would that be the tap water that you drink from the sink?
I mean, for the supplies for like an individual's water provider. So, you know, the water that one might get in one town might come from a different supplier than for another town. And so it's important to check specifically what a local supplier is dealing with in their own water portfolio, which may differ from the next town over.
Right. You mentioned that water agencies, they have, I believe, 5 years to get into compliance with these new national standards. I would imagine there is a price tag attached to this. What do you know about the cost that this will entail?
Yeah, and that's what water suppliers are really worried about. You know, the EPA guesses that this is going to cost about $1.5 billion a year in terms of testing and treatment and other compliance requirements. But water suppliers think that the federal agency really underestimated the cost, and their analysis of a previous version of the regulation, they put it more at $2.5 to $3.2 billion per year. That's, you know, to test, to construct treatment, to buy new sources of water, and to operate and maintain those treatment technologies, and keep staff on hand to do all that for decades. And so the big question for a lot of suppliers is where all that money is going to come from. So there have been some major settlements with companies like DuPont and 3M and other manufacturers of the chemicals, but a multi-billion dollar settlement actually doesn't seem to go that far when you consider the thousands of water systems across the country that are expected to exceed the new federal limits. And so some companies, some water suppliers are turning to low interest loans, looking for funding assistance from some places like the state or other sources. But then, you know, many of them say that some is also going to have to come from customers who will see it in their bills.
Right. That was going to be my next question, because we all need water, but it's not free. So is there the likelihood that this could be offset onto consumers?
That is a concern that water systems are grappling with right now. I spoke to the general manager of a supplier in Pico Rivera, and they've already had to raise customers' rates to help cover the costs of treating the wells that supply all their drinking water under California's current guidelines. It was a $5.5 million construction project. Much of it was covered by a grant, but the district still had to come up with the remainder and yearly operation costs of at least $650,000.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking with CalMatters water policy reporter Rachel Becker about the EPA's new regulations on so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. Okay, Rachel, so you laid out some of the forever chemicals. They are mouthful. They are far from commonly used words, at least in my vernacular. So if you're learning about this, there's these new regulations that are going to impact a lot of water systems and wells across California. It could potentially impact what you pay for water from your water supplier. What are the health impacts of forever chemicals? I mean, that's not necessarily common knowledge. What are some of the long-term health issues linked when you are exposed to these substances?
Yeah, so these chemicals have been linked to a range of consequences for health. The National Academies of Sciences and Engineering did a really recent big review, and they found some of the strongest evidence linking them to decreased antibody responses in adults and kids, changes in cholesterol, decreased infant and fetal growth, and also increased risk of kidney cancer. But they also found what they called sort of suggested links, you know, some with limited evidence, to certain other cancers, including testicular cancers, as well as other health impacts like thyroid disease and pregnancy disorders. And so the EPA, in their analysis of the rule, they estimated that it would prevent about 30,000 illnesses and 9,600 deaths and save about as much as they estimated it would cost, $1.5 billion. From reduced cancers and heart disease and strokes and birth complications, but they also said that it's hard to quantify, you know, exactly the financial benefits of reducing health impacts.
Well, that clearly sounds alarming. And while water suppliers take the next few years to get into compliance on an individual level, what can people do to protect themselves?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think the first thing to do is to find out, you know, what is actually, what folks are actually exposed to. And they can do that by checking out those consumer confidence reports from their water suppliers and kind of looking to there for that information. But water also isn't the only route of exposure. You know, it can be in food items and food packaging as well. But in terms of water, the EPA is actually actively looking at which filters work best, which isn't an easy question to answer because there are absolutely thousands of these chemicals.
So I would imagine it's not realistic that in light of this increased scrutiny of forever chemicals and just how widespread they can be, that they might not ever be fully phased out of all products and substances, that we're stuck with them.
So that's a question actually that's being weighed in the legislature right now. California lawmakers introduced a bill this year that would ban the sale of products that contain, you know, these added perfluoroalkyl and polyfluoroalkyl chemicals, unless state is intentionally added chemicals, unless state toxics regulators determine that they're truly unavoidable. So it's definitely going to be sort of a puzzle. If this law, this bill goes through, you know, which ones are truly unavoidable.
Rachel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Rachel Becker is CalMatters water policy reporter. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.